I'm going to ask my friend Nadine Bent-Russell to come up, and she's going to take her place on the stage. And then I'm going to invite three other ladies to come up. We have a panel this morning, if you would put that slide up, called Fighting Injustice. One of my dreams for Bold Venture is that we would not just come to these meetings and get inspired. How many of you were inspired and challenged last night? I told everybody I felt like, you know, we went to a restaurant and we got a really thick steak. That was something to chew on for a long time. And you need to chew on this when you go home. Talk about it in the car if you're driving, like Nadine, driving 12 hours home to New York. But besides, you know, coming together and being inspired and, you know, we have a wonderful time of worship at these retreats and we have time to meet friends and connect. But I believe God has some surprises in store for us. And one of my dreams is that God would call some of you to just do something crazy and radical after you leave this place. Something crazy and radical like starting a ministry in your city to help abused women, or maybe selling everything and going to a foreign country, or maybe just going to a foreign country for 6 months as an intern. And if you feel God calling you to do something like that, I can help. I have places that already are waiting for you. And this morning, Nadine Bent-Russell is a woman of God from Westchester, New York. She has worked in the financial arena New York City. And she's a professional woman, but she's a powerful woman of God. And she got real excited about the Mordecai Project and what we're doing around the world. And she just wants to come and jump in and be a part. And we're praying that God will supply the funds to bring her on staff as a part of our work. But Nadine this morning is going to facilitate a discussion with three women here in this Bold Venture who are already stepping out and doing some things in this arena. So I'm going to ask Melissa Burgess from Mobile, Alabama to come up. I'm going to ask Casey Berglund from where in Wisconsin? Racine, Wisconsin. And then Beverly Thomas from Orangeburg, South Carolina. Would you give all these ladies a hand? And I'm going to turn it over to Nadine.
So good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure and my honor to be here. Anytime that I get a chance to impart or be part of anything that empowers women, takes women to the next level, but really it's not just about women. That's one of the things I love about Mordecai. I know I'm going to jump ahead, but thank you for coming and sharing your experience this morning with us as well. Lee asked me to do a little bit of an introduction, a little background about myself and my fight for justice. I'm just going to try to make it as short as I can because it's pretty exhaustive. And it's not just about, you know, fighting the man or, you know, whatever. It's really for me about my prophetic calling and how God imparts to me what he wants to see happen in the world and the passion that I have to bring his kingdom to this world. So we can have the kind of, I don't want to kind of put my back to you all, but that I want to see that the glory of his kingdom among us. The separations that we go through and the things that we fight about, it's almost like I imagine that God is like in heaven and going, gosh, my children, you know? And that's the heart that I have about justice and injustice. We know that God is a just God, and he wants to use every single one of us to fight for justice. And there's a lot of different ways that we can do that. In my background, I've fought for justice as part of a governance group. I was on the Board of Regents for University of California, and this was back in the 80s, a long time ago, ancient of days ago. But we fought to keep student fees low. I was part of the group that protested against I worked in the anti-apartheid campaign. it brought me to a place where I got to know Impo Tutu and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And what was really great for me about that is all these years that I've worked with organizations and all of that, what was missing for me was Christianity, was God at the middle of our justice movement. And my exposure to Desmond Tutu, although we disagree about some things, but my exposure to Desmond Tutu taught me that God wanted me as a woman of God to work for his justice on earth. Because he actually imparted to me that we're his hands and feet, as it says in the Bible. And if his work's not getting done, it's because we're not doing it. And that's the conviction that I have to bring justice to the world that we live in today. It's not a by-and-by thing. It's something that we can bring about today. So there's a few things that I've noticed, and then I'm going to toss it over to you all to share your experiences, that we need the Holy Spirit. And he's going to give us patience. And then we need to build coalitions, and we have to learn about each other from a place of, I don't know. Because I've noticed that every single schism that I've seen is based on a lack of understanding or arrogance. And those schisms, God wants to remove from us if we allow him to, because he's the only one who changes hearts, right? So I'm not going to talk too much longer. I'm going to hand the mic over to the ladies and have them share a little bit of their experience working for justice, rubber meeting the road, right? And then we'll do some questions, if that's okay with you all. All right.
My name is Melissa Burgess, and my family and I have been working at an ongoing work in Masindi, Uganda, since 2010. You know, we've been involved in missions for several years, but it wasn't until we got involved in Masindi that God really started to kind of focus. You know, this is your purpose. This is what you're here to do. And the best way I know how to communicate it is just through a story about a particular woman in Masindi, which will communicate to you the injustice they deal with as well as what God's doing. There's a lady there in particular. Her name is Annette, and she's a phenomenal woman. My very first trip, I was sitting in a church, and I was just there with a group of women. It wasn't really anything formal. We were just sitting around getting to know each other. And one of the women named Annette came to me, and she said, "Would you step outside with me? I wanted to talk to you." So, of course, I said, "Sure," and I followed her outside, and we were just kind of walking down this dirt path talking. And Annette said, "You know, the messages that you guys have been sharing this week about how God loves us as women, that he actually knows we're here, he knows our name, and that he wants to use us in his kingdom, I know that those are for me. But," she said, "my husband abuses me, and it gets worse when I come to church." She said, "You know, he doesn't want me to be a Christian. He doesn't want me to be here." And she said, "I know that God is speaking to me to step out and do these things. But when I do them, it's going to come to me at a great cost." So she said, "I was wondering if when you go back to the U.S., if you would remember my name and pray for me." Because she said, "I want to do what God's asking me to do, but I know this is going to be really hard." So, of course, you know, what do you say to that? I said, "I'm not going to forget your name. And I'll be praying for you." And, you know, all I had to offer her was words. And it really set in on me at that point how big this thing was God was doing. That it really was Jeremiah 1 coming to life in someone else's life. You know, sometimes we think about that scripture and we see it on T-shirts and we have it in Christian bookstores about how, you know, "For I know the plans you have for me. And, you know, this day I've set you over nations." And those things are so true. But, you know, what's amazing to me is that that is not just for me. If you think about every woman you know, and then you think about every woman you don't know, and then you think about every country around the world, and you think about every woman that exists, Jeremiah 1 is for them. And so many of them around the world don't know that yet. The women in Masindi knew God for salvation, but they didn't know Jeremiah 1 was for them. So I came back home, and I went back about a year and a half later, and I was just down in the... it's like the local open air market of Masindi. Masindi's a very small, kind of like rural type town. And I was just walking down around there, looking around, and Annette was there. She called my name. So, of course, she came running over, hugged her. And I said, "You know, how are you doing?" She said, "I just want to say thank you for the messages. Thank you for what you've done and let you know I haven't given up." And so, you know, I was like, wow. I was pretty pumped up about that. I was like, that's what I'm talking about. So then, you know, she was talking a little bit, and she reached into her bag, and she pulled out a passport, which now in Uganda, passports are like driver's license, so it wasn't odd that she had one. But she'd started showing me page by page where she had put these handwritten notes on each page, and it was the name of a different nation. And she said, every day when I wake up, I pray over this passport and I pray over these countries because I know God's going to send me to the nations. So I can't tell you what God's doing everywhere in the world because God told me to go to Uganda. And so that's where my family and I are going in January as full-time missionaries. But what I can tell you is that what God is doing there can be done everywhere because Jeremiah 1 is for every woman everywhere.
Good morning. My name is Beverly Thomas, and I'm from Orangeburg, South Carolina, not too far from here. Woo! And, you know, when I sit here and look at all these women and I think back to where God has brought me from, I'm like, Lord, now I'm beginning to see where you're taking me. It's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. And when I think back of all the years that I wasted, you know, trying to find love in all the wrong places, you know, in relationships with men, one man after the other, in alcohol, in drugs, in the bars, everywhere, due to a lifestyle of being raised in alcoholism and abuse myself. And you reach out and you get to a point in your life where you know, you even get saved and you go so far, but then it's like you crash and burn. You go so far and you crash and burn. And then I reached a point in my life where God began to use me with women in the Pentecostal holiness denomination. I was a women's ministry something director, you know. And then he moved me from there for a while, and I worked with the South Carolina Baptist Convention Ministry to Women as district leader for years. And I'm like, why do you have me here, Lord? Why do you have me here? And from there, it was this and this and this, and I just kept saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then I went through a period in my life where it was like everything that I stood for, everything that was in my heart crashed. I made some terrible decisions in my life, bad decisions, and it really took me to the bottom. And you talked last night of mentors and people. And I have to say, with all due respect, the church was not there. Do you understand what I'm saying? The church was not there. As a matter of fact, it was like they were... And I was crying out on the inside. Me and God, me and God. And I reached out. You know, she talked about searching out your mentor. And you've talked about that, Lee. Searching out your mentor. And the Lord laid on my heart a man. There was one of you that talked about that. And he's actually my cousin, but he's a powerful man of God, a bishop up in Columbia. And I reached out to him. And let me tell you something. He got on his face in the floor with me before God. And he cried with me. And he got to the root of the problem. The things that I had not been healed of. And he walked me through. He walked me through. He walked with me. And I thank God for that mentor. Because God restored me. And he began to show me why he had me working with all the denominations in women. He said, I want you now to go back to the community. And I told him, I said, Lord, I will do whatever it is you call me to do. And that hopeless, helpless place that I was in, the mud in the pit, I want to go find every woman in Orangeburg and the surrounding communities and say, listen, there is hope. Come, let me love you. Let my women love you. And God called me to start a ministry in Orangeburg and the surrounding areas, and it's called Spoken For. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And it's so timely that I'm here this weekend because we're going out. We've got our 501c3. We're just about to birth it, to bring it into, and every time you get right there, something like toom, toom, tries to keep it down. But God says, now is the time. Now is the time. So we want to offer hope to the hopeless. We're doing that through one-on-one mentoring. We do Bible study every Thursday night in an awesome group called Soul Sisters. We have life skill trainings where we take new women in and teach them how to take care of children, how to take care of their homes, how to cook. You'd be surprised. Conferences. Although I'm like, y'all, we don't, like, in October, we're having a women's empowerment weekend in Orangeburg. So that's where I am right now, and I need everyone's prayers. I covet the prayers for the ministry.
Dios le bendiga. I'm happy to see some Brazilian, some Portuguese people in the crowd, but and some Spanish-speaking ones as well. I'm Kaloran Berglund. A lot of people call me Casey. That's for Kaloran Cassandra. I am the intern for Mordecai Project in Colombia, in Barranquilla, in the new women's refuge home, Casa de Refugio in Barranquilla. I'm super blessed to be here, and it's very interesting that I am here because I could never see myself doing missions. I never wanted to. I never had that burning desire, like, I want to do missions when I grow up. I want to be in ministry, in full-time ministry. I wanted money, and I wanted a name. And forgot to mention I'm 19 years old, so like a couple years back, that was kind of the thing. And I still is. And my parents are both chiropractors. They started the Truth Ministry, a teaching and healing ministry. And so I did a lot of mission work with them when I grew up, short-term missions trips, but was never like, oh, this is what I want to do when I grow up. I actually trained in ballet, all the way through middle school and high school, and I wanted to be a professional ballerina, and hence the, like, this is an intentional posture. I went to Dominican Republic by myself after several short-term trips with my family. I was like, you know what, before I go to college and totally pursue kind of my name for myself and the education that'll get me there, dance and then psychology, I wanted a doctorate in psychology. Before I do that, maybe I just want to go on another mission trip. Maybe I just want to devote the summer to serving people. And so doors were already open in Dominican. I had been there before. So I went to Dominican Republic and taught dance for the summer. Now, my intention behind that was not just to teach dance, because also teaching dance did not create a name for myself. It helped other people. So I was like, well, I think I want to teach dance, but have it be the underlying motive would be to help these girls realize that they have value in themselves. And so my heart started to change before I went on this trip. I was going to be there for 2 months and 2 days, June 4th to August 6th. And this was 2013, so just last year. Wow. Tons has happened since then. And that's no coincidence. But I went down there, learned that the Dominican Republic is actually the fourth world leader in human trafficking. So prostitutes everywhere. The respect level for women in that country is ridiculously low. I thought going there like, oh, I'm American, but we're all kind of like one people. Yeah. Like, people would respect me. I would respect them. Wasn't that way at all. And I found a lot of oppression with women there. And, anyway, I just kind of had my category and I was like, well, I'm just doing dance. I have some open doors with pastors and churches. I'm just going to do this ballet, jazz, modern. Okay, cool. And I did that. And through that, I wasn't even trying to kind of unlock these girls' hearts. It just kind of came as I was praying and the Holy Spirit was leading and guiding me. I'd just be in the middle of class and be like, Okay, and you know how this relates to the real world? You know, somebody's going to come up to you and say, this is wrong. That doesn't mean you're wrong. That means what you're doing needs to be tweaked or something like that. So anyway, through the summer, girls were coming to me and just for, like, counseling and stuff, but they were my age, so it didn't really feel like that. The whole summer went by, loved the work that was done there, and that all went well, lots of testimonies of good things that happened. That fall, I went to Dream Center, Joyce Meyer Ministries in St. Louis, was an intern there for a while. Then the college thing never happened. I never left for college. I just decided to do online because I realized, missions is probably what I'm supposed to do. And I went to Dream Center, then came back for Christmas, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then went back to Dominican with, the same purpose in mind. That trip went well. When I was there around Valentine's Day, I saw on Facebook the video for Mordecai Project, Lee standing in front of a house and saying, please pray for us. This is the house that we want. We're trying to get a women's shelter up and running in Barranquilla, Colombia. And I was like, I know I'm in Dominican. I know I'm doing missions work here, but I really feel called to help. So maybe I should just send none other than a Facebook message. Powerful stuff. So I sent Lee a Facebook message and I said, you've never met me. My mom knows you. Da, 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 da. Like probably rambling crazy, but I was like, I really just have a heart for girls and restoring young women to have complete identity in Christ and this and this and this. And this wasn't the call from the beginning. God definitely developed it over the past year, but I was just like, yeah, if you ever want help, just let me know. He comes back with, well, you could do this, this, this. Yeah, if you're really interested, we have something for you. So he hooked me up with Nori Menendez, which is the Latin America director of Mordecai Project. So I'm happy to say in a week and a half, I'll be going to Colombia after a whole summer of planning and processing. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit has really just directed and everything and Nori is amazing. I'll be working in the house, moving the women into the home, because they just had their inauguration like 2 days ago. So moving the women into the home, getting them all situated, making sure they feel at home, and just cleaning, cooking for that practical stuff, leading small groups, whatever the need is, I'll just be the personal assistant to Nori. So I'm really looking forward to it. Please, coming from the younger generation, remember that we need you guys. We really do. Those more seasoned Christian women out there, no matter how old you are, 30 or 60. No, I'm just saying. 30 or 60, whatever. But I just want to say, like, we need you guys. We need you guys as mentors. We need you guys to pull out those things in us. So thanks a lot. And that's what God's doing.
So we're not going to have time for questions, but you see all of their beautiful faces. If you have some questions, ask throughout the weekend. Thank you so much for your attention. God bless you.
Yeah, and hold on a second. I want to just say about Melissa. Melissa is leaving in January, and they are currently in the process of they're doing really well in raising their personal support. But Melissa has stuff on a table in the lobby about that, and you can grab that information. She's also selling some jewelry made by the women in Masindi, Uganda, and that actually helps those women. Also, Casey didn't say this, and she doesn't actually know this. She said she's just going to be helping the women move in the house. Actually, we have a whole lot more on her job description than she realizes. Barranquilla, Colombia is a very dangerous place for women. In the first month of last year, January, 11 women were killed by their husbands in that one city. This is what we're dealing with. And so one of the things that we're going to be doing, and KC's going to help us with this, is we're going to be putting together an event in March of next year. And it's going to be a march against violence, against abuse of women. But it's going to be the men of Barranquilla who are going to march. They're going to march through the streets. We're going to go to the central square of Barranquilla, and we're going to get on our knees, and we're going to repent before God for the abuse. And KC is going to help us organize that, because Nori doesn't have enough time to do it. So please pray for KC as she goes to a dangerous city, and she's 19 years old, and her mother is here. Eileen, would you stand up? Please, you know that this woman is praying for her daughter, but we want to all gather and pray for that. And so, and anybody who's close enough to Orangeburg, please hook up with Beverly so that you will be a part of that. So please get, and please give Nadine and everybody a big hand, okay?
So before I give up the mic altogether, I just wanted to, I've said this to Lee in different messages, and I like KC, kind of just reached out to him. But it's two things. One, I really want to thank you and praise the Lord for how you have used your privilege as a white male, and it's just the truth, you know, as a white male to do the kinds of things you just described. Because if it wasn't for you to answer the call, because I remember back in the day I saw one of those old videos and you like stepping up there and go, oh, me, Lord? Okay. Thank you. I'll go and do that and do it with passion. So I just want to thank you. I really do.
Thank you, Nadine.